Hello, friend. This is the second part of Hearing God. We want to pick up in chapter 15. We're going to be still in Genesis. This is kind of in the middle of the story of Jacob. I'm not sure if you've read this story yet. It's a good story to read. It's an interesting story. Here Jacob worked for a man by the name of Laban. He desired to marry one of Laban's daughters and offered Laban to work for him for his daughter Rachel. But I think Jacob worked for him for like 7 years for Rachel, and at the last moment Laban deceived him and gave him the oldest daughter, Leah, whom Jacob was not attracted to. So Jacob found himself married to the wrong woman, and went to Laban again to say he wanted to marry Rachel, and Laban asked him to work for him again 7 more years. And hence their relationship, Jacob and Laban's relationship, was kind of stressed because Laban kept deceiving Jacob, you know, and using him. But while Jacob was with Laban, Laban's property flourished, you know, because God was with Jacob. So Laban became kind of rich under Jacob. And here is at the nearing the end of their relationship. Jacob was kind of getting tired of this guy. We're going to pick up in verse 11 in chapter 15. This is after God had told Jacob to get out of Dodge. Verse 11. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, "Jacob." And I said, "Here I am." He said, "Lift up now your eyes and see that all the male goats which are mating are striped, speckled, and mottled. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now rise, leave this land, and return to the land of your birth." And here we noticed again, like I said in the last lesson, that God speaks through dreams. In this instance, God spoke to Jacob through a dream. Basically, what Laban was doing was telling Jacob, "Oh yeah, you can have, you know, whatever the flock is striped, you know, you can have." So God made it to where when the livestock made it, the offspring would all be striped. And Laban changed his mind. Well, you can have all the spotted ones. And so when the livestock made it again, the flock was spotted. So that's the way Laban was trying to deceive him. So God knew it. Here, God was interested in this man's life enough to perform these things for him to increase Jacob. Why? Because God favored him. Jacob worshipped God. You know, he followed after God. He was a hard worker. He was honest. And you see, to a certain point, Jacob kind of did a few weird things, but, you know, I'll leave that to you to read the story. But still yet, Jacob, you know, was a hard worker. And he expected right to be done to him for his work. And God saw the mistreatment that Laban was doing to Jacob. And God came to him in a dream and told him what to do to save his family and himself from the mistreatment of Laban. What's going on in your life where you need help with, you know, where you need direction? Here, God will step in for you. Be open to Him. Expect it. Expect it. As you develop your relationship with God. Speak to Him openly. He's not a man to where you can just say things out of your mouth and then think something else in your heart. You know, be open to Him. If you say you don't believe something, or, you know, you're really having a hard time doing something, or you really don't want to do something, be honest with Him. And ask Him for help. Ask Him for guidance. He will come to you. He will help you. Because He loves you. And He wants His will to be done through you. You can count on it. God is trustworthy in that respect. He doesn't want anything bad to come back in His name. So He's going to give you all the tools that you need to do His will here on earth. It's up to you to figure it out, to listen to Him, to seek Him, and then to obey. You know, even though it was in Jacob's heart to leave Laban, God told him when to do it and where to go. And it was up to Jacob to do it. You know, he can go off on his own, or God wouldn't have protected him, basically. So, like I said before, we see here how God spoke to Jacob and guided him in his dream. Okay, we're going to go to chapter 22. We're going to go backwards a little bit in Genesis. Okay, let me get to it. That's chapter 22, and we're going to go to verses 1 through 13. Now, this is a hard one. Let's go ahead and pick it up here in verse 1. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Now, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For I now know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. here is the most amazing sequence of events. First of all, Abraham's trust in God. Before we read how Abraham was going to have a child by God. Now, if you can, go and read the story of Abraham, where, you know, he was an old man. His wife was old also. And, you know, they had no children. And God told him that he was going to have an offspring. And Abraham had the faith to believe God, you know, for a child. And God gave it to him. This was early in his life. And now God tells him to take his one offspring and go offer him as a burnt offering. I can't imagine what was going through Abraham's mind. But the thing is, he trusted the word of God. He feared God enough to follow through on what he said. He knew that God was not a liar. When God told him that through him, he would have many descendants and he would give him a son. Okay. And then God tells him to go offer him up as a burnt offering. Something inside him knew that God, well, obviously he said it, God will provide a lamb for the offering, he told him, his son. He knew that God will provide. He knew that God would not take his son. But the thing is, he obeyed God to the point to where he was going to kill his son. He raised a knife and God had to stop him. That only one person went further than that was Jesus Christ. Where he obeyed to the point of death. What a walk with God to be strong enough to do that. That's where I want to be. That's where I want you to be. That's trusting in the word of the Lord to such a point to where you're able to defy everything around you and follow the voice of God. I pray to the Lord Jesus Christ that I have that strength. I praise the Lord Jesus Christ that you have that strength to do that. And it all begins with listening. Listening to God. Okay, we're going to come up out of Genesis. And we're going to go to the book of Samuel. This is still in the Old Testament. And in Samuel, we're going to go to chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And this is a cool story. I like this little story. And we're going to start here in verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And the word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It happened at the time Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well, and the lamp of God had not gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. But the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel said, "Here I am." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. For you called me?" But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. For you called me?" But he answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me?" Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And Samuel was just a little boy. Eli was a prophet. He was nearing the end of his service with God. God told Eli to go choose his replacement, and Samuel was chosen. And Eli was basically brought him in to the temple to teach him about servicing God. But I guess they had not gone that far yet as far as his instructions about hearing the Lord and stuff. And here God was calling this little boy, you know, and they're trying to sleep, and God's calling this little boy. And he's hearing him, but he's thinking it's Eli. I find that so touching because God is, he's consistent. Not only is he consistent, he's persistent, I should say. Always calling. Always calling. You know, and it's not until someone says, "Stop. Just listen." And when he calls again, just say, "Here I am. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." That's us. That's us. That's what we should say to God. "Here I am, Lord." That's what Abraham did. "Here I am, Lord." And how they're available to listen to God, to see what he has to say to them. They listen, and then they follow. Just get into a quiet place with God. By yourself, just close yourself off to everyone. And just learn how to calm down your mind. In this day and age, it'll take a little bit because our minds are going a mile a minute. So just take some time, practice getting your mind clear and praying to God and ask him, "Lord, here I am. Here I am. Your servant is listening." He will speak to you. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He has not stopped talking to us. We just have to stop, wait on him, and then listen, and then obey. The next book we're going to turn up is Daniel. We're going to go to chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And we're going to go down to verse 19. Now, there's another book you can read. Daniel is was a eunuch. What happened was King Nebuchadnezzar went and had war with the Israelites and basically took them as slaves, and he chose talented people in Israel and put them in service in his courts and palaces, and Daniel was one of them. He chose a few Israelite kids and made them eunuchs and put them in service for him. And Daniel was one of these kids who frequently had visions and dreams from God. Daniel has very important prophecies that Nebuchadnezzar listened to, and he wouldn't understand them. Daniel is a very interesting read here, and it just reveals another part of God to us, how he speaks to us sometimes in symbols, and things that we don't understand. And so we have to continue to seek God to get understanding. What do you mean by this? You know, when you showed me this, God, what did you mean by that? Or that symbol there, what did that mean? God will tell us. You know, He gave it to us. He's not, so you figure it out. No, He'll tell us. Continue to seek Him about that. Here, God gave Daniel a vision he didn't understand. And Daniel was wondering about it. And we'll pick up in verse 19. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to Him. It is He who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is He who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. To You, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for You have given me wisdom and power. Even now You have made known to me what we requested of You. You have made known to us the king's matter." So here Daniel was praising God for giving him the answer. It came at a later time. You know, sometimes we expect answers right then and there. And sometimes they come, sometimes they don't. Again, when you read Daniel, you understand what I mean by sometimes the answers kind of get delayed in coming to us. So, that's my cue of reading Daniel there for yourself. But for right now, for the instance of what we're talking about, I just want to point out to you that another way that God, speaks to us, He reveals hidden things, wisdom, that's freely offered to us. And again, God is a rewarder to those who seek Him. That's all we have to do is seek Him. And I think our 20 minutes is up. So I'll finish this lesson in the next part. And I want you to be blessed, my friend. And whatever you do, keep praying and keep serving God.